Hi, I'm Anthony Nerestan, filling in for Jamie Poisson. All right, so today we're bringing you an episode we don't want to be bringing you. Kyle Lowry, the man who led the Toronto Raptors to their first and only NBA championship, is headed to the Miami Heat. The 6-foot-tall point guard from Philadelphia spent nearly a decade with the Raptors. He left an indelible mark on the team, the city of Toronto, and on basketball in Canada. Today we're speaking to sports writer Alex Wong on the legacy of Kyle Lowry. Hello, Alex. Welcome back to Front Burner.
Hey.
So, Alex, we thought this was going to happen earlier this year, but it didn't. Now that we're here, tell me, what was your reaction when you first heard the news that Kyle Lowry was traded?
Yeah, you know, I think you brought up a really good point in terms of, you know, in March at the trade deadline, there was the expectation that Kyle Lowry was going to be traded. And so to me, to be honest, my personal reaction was, this was something that was expected. You know, I think that the Raptors are on a particular timeline right now, coming off a championship 2 years ago. They're now rebuilding their roster. And Kyle's at a point in his career where he's only really got maybe 4 to 5 years left. And he wants to maximize those years and have an opportunity to win a championship and earn the most money. And when you look at those two factors, I think the Raptors were never going to beat out the other teams. And you know, it seemed like half of the NBA was you know, vying for Kyle's services, as they should be, because he's still, you know, playing at a very high level. So hearing the news that he was going to Miami, honestly, was not a surprise. And I feel like myself and a lot of other people in Toronto, we already said our goodbyes to Kyle in March.
I will say this. I will retire as a Toronto Raptor. So, you know, that if I'm here, I will retire as a Toronto Raptor. You know, that one-day contract, hey, whatever happens.
So for people that are listening who might not know or understand the impact that Kyle Lowry had, can you tell me a bit about what he means to the Raptors and to Raptors fans?
Yeah, so, you know, I think on the court, you know, Kyle's always been one of the most underrated point guards in the league. You know, his numbers, when you look at counting stats, might not stand out, but, you know, you talk to anybody who's ever played with him or against him, you know, he is one of the best leaders in the NBA. He's one of the best point guards. You know, the statistics back it up. Basically, during Kyle's 9 years here, you know, regardless of which other four players that you put on the floor, you know, the Raptors were always a winning team. The Raptors were always in contention. They always won around 50 games every season. And that was all because of Kyle. And, you know, I think when you look at Kyle's overall impact too, you think about where the Raptors were when he came here. And you think about where Kyle was in his career when he came here. He wasn't this all-star point guard, this championship point guard.
I think it's everybody's first thought when they get traded. It's like, okay, you know, wow, you know, I've been traded. All right, cool. You know, it takes a couple of days to actually realize, you know, okay, it's a new opportunity, it's a new place, new chapter in the book. Let's go.
You know, he had bounced around. He had butt heads with some coaches, and he butt heads with coaches here too. But, you know, he had this reputation of just being this journeyman point guard. And he grew into a champion here in Toronto, and he lifted the Raptors franchise to heights that they've never been before.
How does a young guy from North Philly, who had all kinds of questions about him, not tall enough, not fast enough, not athletic, how does he become an NBA champion?
Hard work, never letting nobody tell you can't do something special, and just a great group of guys. I mean, yeah, I can't really think right now. This is crazy. This is awesome, man. Toronto, Canada, we brought it home, baby. We brought it home.
You know, you talk about his impact on the team, as far as his style of play and just the presence he had within the team, but specifically focusing on that championship, that incredible championship playoff run from a few years ago. Can you tell me what role he played during that run and how important he was to the team?
Yeah, you know, I think Kyle played a huge part on both ends of the floor. You know, one of the most underrated parts about Kyle Lowry is his defense. And again, it's not just individual defense. It's just little things that he does. He's able to sniff out other teams' plays. He's able to draw charges, which he's most famous for. He's able to organize the rest of the team when they're on the floor. And in one of the games that, you know, people when they look back on the championship run, always talk about is Game 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm sure everyone listening remembers Kawhi Leonard's shot. You know, that's obviously the most iconic moment during the championship run. But for basketball fans who watch the team maybe closer than the casual fans, you know, Kyle did a lot of remarkable things in that game and throughout the championship run on the defensive end. You know, the Raptors played incredible defense in that game, especially in the fourth quarter, and so much of that was Kyle.
Three pass stolen by Lowry. Lowry back to Ibaka. Serge Ibaka once again.
And you know, I think it's hard a lot of times to describe Kyle's impact, because it honestly does come from watching him over a period of time and just appreciating kind of the cumulative things that he does. And instead of, you know, you're never going to see Kyle Lowry, you know, have a slam dunk or be on the opposite end of a alley-oop that shows up on SportsCenter, but it's really the little things. And I think that's why he's gone so underappreciated for so long.
I want to take a step back to going back to before Kyle Lowry arrived and became a Toronto Raptor. What was the state of the franchise at that time? And can you tell me a bit about how Lowry changed that?
Yeah, so, you know, at the time, Brian Colangelo was the general manager. So this was before, just before Masai Ujiri came. And this was a few years after Chris Bosh had left Toronto in free agency and gone to Miami to team up and win two championships with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And if we go back before Chris Bosh, it was, you know, a dark period after the Raptors had traded Vince Carter, who requested out of Toronto to go to New Jersey. So you're talking about probably a decade of, you know, Raptors basketball in the post-Vince Carter era, where they made the playoffs a few times, were eliminated in the first round, but clearly just were not in the conversation in the NBA. They were just not a relevant franchise. And, you know, Kyle came here, and obviously there was a series of other moves too. You know, I think we can't talk about this era without mentioning DeMar DeRozan's impact as well. But once Kyle and DeMar was here, you know, they turned the Raptors, along with head coach Dwayne Casey, into a winning program.
It's no coincidence the Raptors' greatest years have coincided with Kyle Lowry being on the floor.
And, you know, Masai Ujiri's arrival helped with that too. You know, the All-Star game came here. They got a new practice facility. And the Raptors just became a more credible franchise. And they started to win behind Kyle and DeMar as well. And if you jump forward now, 9 years after Kyle arrived here, people around the league talk about the Raptors as one of the most respected organizations. And Kyle Lowry's fingerprints are all over that.
And it just felt like it was a gradual process. They wouldn't, I don't have the exact years in my head, but it felt like they would make the playoffs, lose in the first round to Brooklyn, for example, when they had Kevin Garnett. It felt like leading up to that championship, it was just a gradual process of the Raptors getting just a little bit better every year.
Yeah, and you know, there was a lot of heartbreak along the way, like you mentioned, you know, getting swept in the first round by the Washington Wizards, you know, losing to LeBron James in what seemed like, you know, every single year. And, you know, it seemed like the Raptors had really reached a ceiling in terms of what they had built. And obviously the trade for Kawhi Leonard really pushed them over the top. But, you know, for me, the 2019 championship run will obviously be about Kawhi, but for me, it's always about Kyle Lowry, because he represented the journey of these Raptors. You know, he had been criticized leading up to the 2019 playoff run about his up and down performances in the playoffs. You know, there was one series when they played against the Miami Heat where, you know, he was in such a shooting slump that after a game one loss, he went back onto the court to get shots up after a playoff game, which is something that you just never saw before, you know, from players. And, you know, for him to have the performance that he had in 2019 during the championship run, score the first 11 points in this championship clinching game in game 6 against the Golden State Warriors.
Leonard finds Lowry. Lowry's been hot. That continues. Kyle Lowry.
And all of these great moments, it really just, I think, represented the whole journey that the Raptors fans went on over this past decade.
You know, we've touched on Kyle Lowry, the basketball player, but let's talk about the person, the human being. He's really, really loved by the team and by Canada, really. Can you tell me what is it about him that makes him so lovable?
Yeah, you know, I think Kyle's one of those one of those guys who's really prickly to his superiors, you know, whether it's coaches or even general manager. Like, it's been well documented that, you know, he's had some ups and downs with Masai Ujiri, but he's beloved by his teammates and he's beloved by fans, because I think he never makes anything about himself, whether it's on the court or off the court. You know, he does a lot of stuff, you know, off the court with, you know, sick kids hospital, you know, Thanksgiving food drives, a lot of those things in the community, you know, that's entrenched him with the city of Toronto. And one of the best examples I can give to really describe Kyle Lowry is, you know, during the 2020 season, there was a regular season game where the Raptors came back from 30 points down to the Dallas Mavericks in the second half. And Kyle Lowry was instrumental. Like, he was the engine for that, one of the most remarkable comebacks, not just in Raptors history but just league history. And after the game, when they asked him about his performance, he never answered a single question and talked about himself. All he did was heap praise on his teammates, even though everybody in the room knew that it was Kyle who was responsible for this comeback.
Lowry has got so hot from the outside, or taking it to the basket.
Malcolm, Terrence Davis, Ron Day, and Chris Boucher, I give them all the credit today. They won that game. Give those guys the credit, man. Seriously.
And that's what Kyle has always been like. He's always talked about wanting the young players to develop, wanting them to get paid, and wanting the best for his teammates. And, you know, to me, you know, I think sometimes in sports, maybe we overrate, you know, terms like leadership and like intangibles, but for me, Kyle really brought those things. And he didn't just bring those things, but he was also a great player. And combined, that made him who he was.
Like, I grew from an immature kid trying to find his way. And, oh, man, why is everybody this, that, and the other? To, all right, man, all right, how do I help this young guy get better? How do I help, you know, this guy get paid? How do I help?
You know, he's a pretty serious dude on the basketball court. Like, he's a intense competitor, but he's also a pretty funny guy as well. Wonder if you can tell me or give me some of your favorite funniest Kyle Lowry moments in Toronto.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, I think if people just Google Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan on like YouTube, you'll see a lot of just funny interactions between them.
I go based off that. You know, these days it's not like I gotta have the mindset to go out there and, you know, I got to score 30, 40 points. I go out there and play aggressive.
Just had 37. What you mean?
I didn't go out there saying, let me score 30 tonight.
But like, I'm saying, you had 37. Don't say it like
But
you.
I'm saying I didn't go out there
but
saying.
But all I'm saying, you can't say that when you had 37.
Listen, what I'm trying to explain, though,
what I'm
bro.
Saying is, I understand what you're saying.
You know, obviously they were great friends. One of the things that actually, you know, I always want to point people to is just the pregame routine that he used to do when he played at home at Scotiabank Arena. You know, when the lights would dim at the arena and the PA announcer would introduce the starters, Kyle was, you know, usually the last player that was introduced.
This is Kyle.
And he would make all his teammates get down kind of in this line and do a series of just like sit-ups, push-ups, and workout routines as he walked by them and high-fived them. And that was honestly, for fans and I think even for media watching, that was always one of the best highlights, was when new players came to the Raptors and the first time the starting lineup was introduced, they would all look so bewildered at what everybody was doing in the line, but they would eventually learn. And again, that goes back, I think, to not just Kyle's sense of humor, but the way he just kind of organizes and brings the team together.
You know, you mentioned Lowry's leadership. And one thing that comes to mind for me is that moment at the end of Game 6 when the Raptors clinched the championship, and that confrontation between Masai Ujiri and the security guard and what happened after with Kyle Lowry. Can you kind of walk me through that moment?
Yeah, you know, as the clock was winding down and the Raptors were about to clinch their first championship, you know, Masai was trying to get on the court. And, you know, one of the security officers in Oakland at Oracle Arena basically got into a physical confrontation with Masai and, you know, shoved him a few times, even though Masai was trying to show his credential to get on the court. And, you know, this was obviously a very disappointing moment, and really, to be honest, devastating, because this was like the height of Masai's career, you know, having just built this championship team and watched his team win it all. And, you know, Kyle really had no idea what was going on, obviously, right at that moment, but he saw Masai and he grabbed him. And, you know, they embraced. It's a very iconic and memorable moment from that night, because when you think about the relationship between Kyle and Masai, you know, to put it nicely, it's been up and down, you know, over the 9 years that he's been here in Toronto. You know, when Kyle first got here, you know, Masai sat down with Kyle and challenged him and told him, you know, do you want to be this journeyman point guard who gets traded 4 or 5 times in your career, or do you want to become an all-star? And, you know, there was also a lot of hard feelings after Masai traded Kyle's best friend, DeMar DeRozan.
I mean, DeMar was very open this summer about feeling betrayed. Yeah. Did you feel betrayed?
I felt betrayed because he felt betrayed, because that's my guy, that's my best friend. So, yeah, I felt some type of way.
You know, Kyle and Masai famously didn't talk to each other for several months, probably longer than that. And that was during the championship season. There was a lot of kind of uncertainty and tension in the air to start, and for it all to culminate and end with a championship, and for them to kind of share that embrace on the court. You know, I think it was just such a great moment and really showed the growth and the evolution of their relationship over the 9 years.
Yeah. And one thing about Lowry that stands out off the court, Alex, is, you know, he went to Philadelphia and he marched for the Black Lives Matter movement. And he's been very vocal about that issue on and off the court.
Nick Nurse said that he thought that the Star Spangled Banner and O Canada should be treated as one long song, and you all knelt for both. What went into that decision, and what were your emotions as you were doing that?
I mean, honestly, to think about it, you know, I was on my knee for over 4 minutes, and to think that a police officer could do that for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. You know, Doc Rivers said that about 2 minutes, and I was down there for 8, and I indented my towel, and it's a sad moment.
Can you tell me a bit about the role he played there?
You know, I think Kyle's always been one of the more prominent voices in the NBA. And sometimes, you know, when it comes to social justice issues, I think a lot of major professional sports leagues like to just attach one or two familiar faces to it. But, you know, Kyle has obviously done a lot of work, you know, behind the scenes, you know, in Philadelphia and just speaking out. And Kyle was also one of the members of the Players Association, and he was instrumental in just organizing the NBA bubble when the league shut down, to figure out a way to bring the league back. So looking out for fellow players through his role at the Players Association. So he's had his hands in all of those things.
And he's been around long enough, where he had been around long enough with the Raptors to kind of be a sort of a mentor, I guess, to the younger players. Can you tell me a bit about the effect he had in the locker room when it comes to grooming some of the younger players on that team?
Yeah, you know, I think all you have to do is look at a player like Fred VanVleet. You know, he came in and was undrafted, and Fred has talked so much about just the influence of not just playing alongside Kyle, but being able to pick Kyle's brain about what it's like to be an NBA pro.
Like, when I came into camp, Kyle didn't know me from a can of paint, and, you know, he showed me the respect, but I also demanded my respect. I tell people all the time, my first day at camp, I thought I was trying to get to the gym, you know, early. Kyle had already been in there for an hour and a half. And then, you know, he comes up to me and says, you know, here, Rook, carry this bag for me. And, like, I'm like, all right, shit, I'm in the NBA. I carry all your bags if you want me to.
That's the thing about Kyle, is that even though he is leaving and he's joining the Miami Heat, even for this next era of Raptors basketball, you're going to see Kyle's fingerprints all over it as well. In Pascal, in OG Anunoby, those are the players that have learned so much, you know, having spent the past few years with Kyle. So, you know, I think the one example I would always use is Fred VanVleet. And you look at the player that he's become, you know, I think everybody's looking to him now to really take on the Kyle role, both on the court and off the court, as a leader.
It's interesting. You mentioned earlier how it's almost like Raptors fans already said their goodbyes. They saw this coming. It maybe should have happened earlier, but now that we're here, what can you tell me about what this means for the franchise moving forward?
I think this is a clear kind of signal that the Raptors are moving towards a rebuilding period, and I think when you look at the 2019 championship team, there's only a few players that are left from there. You know, you think about the last time the Raptors played in Toronto, which was in February 2020. You know, since then, we've said goodbye to Kyle Lowry. We've said goodbye to Norman Powell. We've said goodbye to Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol. This is a clear signal that, you know, one era of Raptors basketball has ended. And, you know, what this next era will be remains to be seen. You know, the Raptors have a handful of exciting young players. You know, their recent first-round draft pick, Scottie Barnes. They've obviously got Fred. They've got Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. But after that, the roster is full of question marks. So it's going to be interesting to see what this team does. You know, it might take a year or two to replenish the roster. But then again, you know, under Masai Ujiri, the Raptors have always had something up their sleeves. You know, they've always come up with a few surprising things. So who knows? Maybe I'm talking to you in 2 weeks about the Raptors trading for Damian Lillard. Who knows?
Yeah, something like that. It's funny because it's like you're expecting maybe like growing pains a couple of years, or maybe they'll just find a way to retool on the fly and be and remain competitive in that Eastern Conference. Sticking with Lowry, as far as his career and his legacy, what does this step mean? He's 30. I believe he's 35 years old. Moving to Miami at this stage of his career, what does it mean for him, and what do you expect?
You know, I think Kyle really wants to win a second championship. I think he's already established himself enough in terms of all-star appearances, the NBA championship in 2019 as a Hall of Fame player when he retires. But, you know, I think he knows very well that a second championship will vault him into kind of this next tier, you know, when you're talking about all-time point guards. And he's going to a situation in Miami where they're going to have a contending team. You know, they were also just in the finals 2 seasons ago. And, you know, they've got Jimmy Butler, and they've got a really talented young center in Bam Adebayo. And, you know, Kyle Lowry is one of those players, like we talked about. You put him on the floor with any players, and he's going to raise the ceiling of that team. And he's going to do exactly that in Miami.
I'll just ask you straight up, is Kyle the greatest Raptor of all time?
Yeah, you know, that's a clear answer. You know, it's a yes for me. You know, I think Vince Carter is the name that comes up a lot. And, you know, I grew up watching Vince Carter, and I understand the impact that Vince Carter not only had to the team, but just to basketball. But when you look at, you know, the longevity and just the amount he has contributed and built this franchise and sent it to a completely other level than you know, anyone can ever remember. Because I'm sure a lot of people listening remember when the Raptors were just a footnote and an afterthought here in Toronto. And they're not that any longer. So it's clear that Kyle is the greatest Raptor of all time. And I know a lot of fans have anointed him that. And they've rightly done that. To me, it's almost like a temperature check of if you're a real Raptors fan. You know, if you think Kyle isn't the greatest Raptor of all time, then I need to know how much Raptors basketball you've watched.
It's funny you say that, because I grew up a huge Vince Carter fan. He's the reason why I started watching basketball. But I was just having this conversation with my brother, and he was like, Vince was huge, but Kyle Lowry won.
That's the big difference, because Kyle Lowry completed his story in Toronto, right? Like, Kyle Lowry didn't just come here and, you know, had some great years and left. He came here, he grew into an all-star player, and most importantly, like you said, he won a championship.
For sure, for sure. Well, a great career and end of an era for Raptors basketball. Alex, thank you very much for making time to be on the podcast.
Thank you.
Okay, before we go, some COVID news to mention. On Tuesday, Ontario unveiled its back-to-school plan for September. Students will have to wear masks indoors and will have to screen themselves every day for symptoms. Remote learning will still be an option, even as students return to the classroom full-time. However, the plan had no details on managing COVID-19 outbreaks, has no threshold for shutting down classes or schools, and it doesn't indicate what level of transmission in the surrounding community might affect a school's operations. That's all for today. I'm Anthony Nerestan. Thanks for listening to Frontburner.